Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Thy ravish peace, thou the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right. Bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night. My love I bring to you.
I
name is John Supar Reed, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that is designed by Katria, my brother and friend and I, to give you comprehensive in-depth studies in order to help you evolve in your life, because we all need it. Truth be told, the Most High said we all dirty, meaning that we all need to evolve. And by virtue of that, we have to do these studies. And so these studies are comprehensive. They're not skipped to the loop from one verse to the next, from one book to the next. They're in-depth studies started at the beginning of one chapter and completed that chapter from beginning to end. And the chapter we're in, too, is the book of Job. And you will see a man is going through trying times like we all do. And this has to be understood sometimes. Now, Job is going through a trying time. He lost his means of livelihood. He's lost his children. And now he's infected with inflammation, boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he's feeling somewhat in anguish. He's feeling sorry for himself, truth be told, in this chapter. He's feeling so sorry for himself that he's being presumptuous in what he's saying. Instead of relying on the Most High, Job appears to be presumptuous, appears to think he knows better about his life, that it should have never existed. But we won't get into that right now, but right shortly we will. But you know, I like to make comments on ongoing subject matters. Two things in particular. One is in Madagascar, in the southern region of Madagascar. It's a famine. The southern region, 1 million people, men, women, and children are starving. As Cartier succinctly alludes to the fact that while East country and other countries seem to invest their monies in bombs and rockets, even rockets to the spaceship out of space, while these people in Madagascar are starving to death. If you can do something, if you have the means and opportunity, please help. If you can't do anything but offer prayer for them, it's more than what this Western Hemisphere, this country is doing. So do something. And the least you could do is say some prayers for them. Also, in Afghanistan, it's getting quite dire over there. And I hate to see children mistreated, especially young girls. Families are having to sell their daughters just to survive. I saw a little girl putting on lipstick and whatnot. I said, man, what the hell? You know, I don't like when you mistreat older people, children, and people that got mental illness, and little girls and little boys for that matter. And I know you can't do very much, but you should be cognizant of what is going on universally. And the least you could do, as I said, in regards to Madagascar, any other situation universally speaking, you can say a prayer for those little Afghani girls, and I'm pretty sure they got the boys next in line. You know, they have a passivity for little boys over there, so I guess they'll be next in line. So please set some prayers for them, okay? Without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Katriel, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Well, praise to the Holy One of Israel. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari, may the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May He bless you and yours also.
Yeah, such, you know, sad news worldwide.
It is.
And it ain't getting no better. And how do you, you know, really pick yourself up from the dire stuff that's going on in the world? You can only really cling to the Most High because He does have a future for the world. If you left it in the hands of man, the world would be destroyed even quicker. They talking about global warming, but the earth has a tendency to judge man for what he does. And we can see that the Western world, with their inventions and their progress, so-called progress, is not good for the earth. Matter of fact, it's destroying the earth, and they're calling it global warming. These are carbon emissions. But it's way more than just carbon emissions, because you're tearing down the ecosystem. You're putting animals on the extinction list. Whatever y'all doing, it's not in tune with the earth and fire. So people in Madagascar are suffering.
Exactly.
About a million people. The world powers can't help a million people on an island. That's probably a big island, but I mean, come on now. Come on now.
Exactly.
They used to have, you know, when disaster struck, you have like cargo ships dropping aid down to the people, water, food, medical aid. And you talk about a million people in Madagascar. That's on that brink. But it's so unfortunate. But that's what the world is today, all the confusion.
You better believe it, brother. All right. Cartier, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. If we can get into our study, these dire need of study for all of us, Yom Suf included, we all need them. So please turn to chapter 3 of Job. Okay. May the Most High bless us, and may he direct and order our steps. Scott Trail said, I concur with him, that all our souls and all that's within us praise his holy name. Now, Job is speaking. He finally starts speaking. And Job began to speak and cursed the day of his birth. Job spoke up and said, perish the day on which I was born. I think a lot of us feel that way sometimes, don't we? In the night it was announced, but there's been presumptions. A mayor has been conceived. May that day be darkness. May Yah above have no concern for it. May light not shine on it. May darkness and deep gloom reclaim it. May a pall lie over it. May what blackens the day terrify it. May obscurity carry off the night, that night. May it not be counted among the days of the years. May it not appear in any of its months. May the night be desolate. May no sound of joy be heard in it. That very day he's talking about him being born. But Job is seen to forget something. Not only Job, you were born, there was a countless other children born. There was animals conceived. There was a whole lot going on in the universe other than yourself, Joe. You're self-absorbed at this moment, like a lot of us get self-absorbed sometimes. And what is that saying? We can't see the forest for the trees. We get so absorbed in our own lives that we neglect what Yah is doing, universally speaking. And we sometimes feel it's all about me. No, life, the universe is not all about Yom Suf Arif. It's not all about Cartrill. It's not all about Sister Abiyah or Sister Yehudi or Imam Hador, but it's all about all of us. Everything, just as I said, life is not linear, not no one line. It's multidimensional. A lot of things are going on at the same time, but sometimes we get like Job. Not only Job is feeling this way, a lot of us feel that way sometimes, whatever, given the circumstances. And we think it's all about us. And that the night should be blacking out, everything should be gloom and doom. And see, that's why I said Job is not thinking rationally. But that's understandable. As I said, he lost his means of living. His wife turned against him. He lost his children. He's got more information from the top of his head. And now, a lot of you like to believe, well, I wouldn't have been talking like Job. Come on now. Some of us stir by toenail, and we talking like Job. Some of us lose a job, we talking like Job. Some of us lose a wife or a husband, we talking like Job. So don't say, because you're not in Job's situation, that you wouldn't talk like that. But I'm trying to get us to not get into yourself, get into your feeling and start saying things. And then you neglecting to see the whole universal big picture. Because if you blacking out the day you were born and the night you were born, what about the other people? What about the other animals? What about the universe in itself? So don't get beside yourself. You think the universe is all about you. The universe is not all about Yom Suf Arif. It's not about Cartrill. It's not about Sister Yehudi. It's not about Sister Abiyah or any one of of these students out there who are studying along with us. Now, that's the picture I'm trying to paint for you. But I want you to understand, I understand what Job's going through. I understand how he's feeling. And we've all felt that way sometimes. And we get presumptuous when we do so. And that's what Job is being rather presumptuous in his conversation. But it's understandable. He said, may no sound of joy be heard in. May those who cast a spell upon the day damn it. Those prepared to disable Leviathan. May his twilight stars remain dark. May it hope for light and have none. May it not see the glimmering of the dawn, because it did not block my mother's womb. But yo, what about everybody else? And hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die in childbirth? Aspire as I came from the womb. Because you weren't supposed to. You ain't Yah. And some of us, we're going through things. You're not Yah. You don't see the big picture. Job don't see the big picture, but he will later on in these studies. Why were there knees to receive me? The childbirthing women had to bend down to receive Job. A breast for me to suck. For now would I be lying in repose, asleep and at rest. Now, if I was born dead, I wouldn't even have to worry about what I'm going through. With the world's kings and councils who reveal ruins for themselves, as they're doing right now. Or with nobles who possess gold and who fill the houses with silver, just like they're doing now. Job is right about that. And why was I not like a buried stillborn, like babies who never saw the light? Job, that's not your call to make. Now, whatever you're going through out there, it's not your call to make. There the wicked cease from troubling. There rest those whose strength is spent. They done with. Prisoners are wholly at ease there. They do not hit a taskmaster. They ain't got to worry about hitting the clock. Small and great alike are there. The slave is free of his master there. Why does he give light to the sufferer and life to the bitter in spirit? Because he's Yah. He can do what he want to do. And you don't have a right to question it. To those who wait for death, but it does not come. Who search for it more than for treasures. And I've seen people like that. Who rejoice in exultation and are glad to reach the grave. To the man who has lost his way, whom Yah has hedged about. Whom Yah has hedged about, question. Now, it's empty said. Now, if Yah done took care of all these folks and whatnot, and Yah done hit, but they still going through what they're going through, like I'm going through what I'm going through. But Yah supposed to hedge me about. Yeah, he did hedge you about, Job, because you don't see the big picture. You don't need to see the adversary, the prosecutor, Satan. You don't see the spiritual dynamic going on. You just see you, Job. And he's questioning. Is Yah supposed to hedge me about or hedge those about? And this is what we got going on? Because Job and we don't see the big picture. My groaning serves as my bread. I eat my groaning. That's my bread. My roaring pours forth as water. For what I feared has overtaken me. Job had a fear of exactly what happened to him. Just like us. We have trepidations. We have fears. And sometimes they overcome us. And sometimes they don't. King Darwin spoke about that in the Psalms. Don't have anxieties, worrying about your fears overcoming you and so on and so forth. When you're over-inundated with yourself and you're not connected with Yah, when you allow Yah to work the situation out, you become over-inundated with oneself. And it's all about Seth. And finally, what I dread has come upon me. I have no repose, no quiet, no rest, and trouble came. But see, as I said, fellow students, Job, like all of us, it's understandable to feel that way. But like all of us, Job don't see the big picture. Trust and reliance should be on Yah. Don't let these things be distractions to you. Keep plugged into Yah. Keep plugging along. Whatever comes, hell or high water. Because you don't know the big picture. Yom Suk don't know. Contrail don't know. We're not Yah. Only Yah know the big picture and what's going on, the dynamic, the spiritual dynamic behind the scene. And he pulling the strings for all of us. So don't get over inundated and be presumptuous and get beside yourself and start counting yourself out because you don't know the final analysis. As Job didn't know the final analysis, but he was feeling, I could understand the way he was feeling. As I said, his wife had turned against him, his children had perished, his means of living was stolen away from him. He's inflamed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with boars. It's understandable. But let me caution you. None of you are in the situation Job is in. So be that as it may. You keep plugged in the Yah. You stay plugged in the Yah. And don't be presumptuous and start cursing the days that you were born and the time and the hour and so on and so forth. Because there's a whole lot of things going on behind the scene that you're not fully aware of because you're not the LOM. All right, Cottrell, my dear brother and friend, you have the mic and you have the floor, and I'm going to bring Sister Yehudi on right after you. Okay. Cottrell, do you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Okay. Okay.
The Holy One of Yisrael for the story of Job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Praise
God. I kind of felt like Job when I was younger.
We all do, brother. Believe me.
But Job's battle was greater than the battle we fight.
Exactly.
He's being tested by an angel. So his spirit is like in a battle with his adversary.
Exactly.
He has the upper hand in that he can bring him to the brink of death, which he's done. And Job is trying to figure out why. I've been connected with Yah. I made sacrifices for my son to expiate any kind of sin that we may have done to remain humble before Yah. And now all this disaster has come upon me. Disease and illness boils, and Yah's not answering him. Yah's letting him suffer. And he's trying to figure out why. So you could definitely understand this spiritual battle that he's going through, and he's questioning everything. And him cursing his past, you can't curse your past. It's already done. So he's just frustrated with his situation, and he's venting. And he's using strong words, but Yah is not going to kill him.
Because
he's loyal. Everything that he's saying is not to curse Yah. It's just him focusing on him. Why was I even born? I try to show my loyalty. Nah, maybe I shouldn't even been born. Curse be the day my mother had me, because I'm supposed to be connected, and that's his main focus. That his connection is broken, so in his mind it seems, because he's not getting an answer from the Most High.
Exactly.
We should be just as diligent in seeking an answer from the Most High as Job. Why are we in this situation? What do we do to deserve to be in the situation that we're in? And we should try to find those answers, because Yah will answer you. And in the end, Yah answered Job. Matter of fact, he threw questions at Job. Job said, oh, yeah, questions
hey,
everything.
Hey, Contrail, you're doing one of my things. You're getting ahead of it. Yeah.
You could check me. You could check yourself there, right?
I need to check myself. I'm telling you, Yamsu. Everybody needs to check themselves. We're all dirty out here, so all of us need to check ourselves. As a matter of fact, I called Cottrell this weekend and apologized to him for interrupting him and doing his comments and so on. He said, Sue, I understand. He said, because I do it sometime too. So he understood. So he said, I know it's not anything personal. Yeah, we all had to check ourselves.
Real talk. And Job is just venting, and he has every right to vent, as long as he don't curse the Most High. Because if he cursed the Most High, He's on the brink of disaster.
Exactly.
I don't know what counsel his wife was giving him. Curse your God and die. She must have hated him because she lost all the materialistic things. He ain't worried about all the materialistic things that he lost. He's worried about his connection with the Most High, first and foremost.
As all of us, Katria, as all of us should be.
Oh, yeah.
Because things come and go, Katria. Yeah. People come and go. But
he ain't crying about all of how many camels he had. Oh, my camels. All the sheep I had. My sons, my daughters. Oh, he ain't crying about that.
No, he did. I got to give him credit for that, Katria. Got to give him credit for that.
And he humbled himself. He ain't say nothing for 7 days. Sat in ashes, right? The ashes,
exactly.
Him sitting in ashes, they say, was like a way of him healing. Because the ashes had a way of, withdrawing out the liquid
toxins
in the body.
Yeah, the toxins, right. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, imagine going through fighting the devil firsthand.
Exactly.
You can do anything he wants, bring you to the brink of death. And you just got to hang in there with your trust and loyalty to Yah.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We all need to. And we're not exercising that, Katria. We should exercise that.
Well, we can learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot from this story. Watch. Because pressure tends to bring out, you know, good counsel. And he may not understand what's going on, but he's working, trying to work through it.
Exactly.
In a spiritual way.
Exactly. Well, Katria, that was beautiful commentary. If you're done, we'll bring Sister Yehudi up.
Yes, sir. Most High bless Sister Yehudi.
Hallelujah. Okay, Sister Yehudi from Detroit. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, brother. Shalom. You know, in verse 20, because I think we all thought this way, why does he give light to the sufferer and life to the bitter of being, who are waiting for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than treasures, who rejoice exceedingly, they are glad, find the grave? Part of the first part is, have we ever been, well, I know I have, why am I being tormented? Why am I going through this? Was it better that I did not live? Was it good that I was not born? What has befallen me? But he, like you said, he doesn't get upset with the Most High. And a lot of people in this world do. With their God. They get upset. Well, why does he let this happen? How come he does this? Which in turn, we don't realize it's us sometimes. He allows it. But Job, and I don't want to jump ahead. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to get in the floor. But anyway, these are the things that even recently I talked to the Creator.
Right.
And is this my destination? And I must be patient. And our impatientness sometimes in certain circumstances, because we're only here but a minute.
Exactly.
When we think about it, we regulate time because we know we're going to end and go back to the ground and be dust. So while we're here, and Loki, I hit on some good points, go to him. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we take things on our own and we realize I should have seek counsel. So this is an interesting chapter. Hello.
Amen, sister. Thank you very much. Beautiful comments. Katria?
Yes, sir.
We're done, brother, with our commentary. And we need some boosting up and some comfort and some education. So I know you have a lovely Psalms 110 to help give us that infusion.
No question. Another song from our friend King David. We had a way with words and inspiring people, even in this generation here.
Hallelujah.
You said 110?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. 110.
Oh,
I don't know how many songs he wrote, but every single one of them, every single one of them got spiritual strength in it.
Amen.
Thanks and praise to the Most High, King of Israel, for our King, King David, and the beauty of him and his creative side. He was a warrior king and a servant, a shepherd, and I guess in today's world, he would be like a superstar as far as music is concerned. He wrote so many songs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Great.
Here's Josh's proclamation to my Lord. Whoever was writing this is writing about King David. My Lord will be the king. Sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Yah extends his dominion from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people willingly follow you when you go into battle. On the holy hills at sunrise, the dew of your youth belongs to you. Yah makes this promise an oath and will not revoke it. You are an eternal priest after the pattern of Melchizedek. Now, people may not understand. Melchizedek was a priest king that met with Abraham, our father, and received a tithe from him after our father Abraham won a battle to win Lot back from the five kings that he fought. If you read what it said, the promise is an eternal blessing for King David. They try to attribute it to JC, but the Most High is talking about King David. King David is the writer, author of this particular song, and he's not talking about one of his future descendants. It's talking about him and Most High's promise to him, because King David never ruled the world to have all his enemies to be his footstool, at least not yet. And when King David is by Yah's side, Yah controls the foe, and Yah will restore King David's soul. It says, oh, Yah, at your right hand, he strikes down kings in the day and unleashes his anger. He executes judgment against the nations. Everybody knows Judgment Day is coming, and this is in reference to that Judgment Day. He fills the valleys with corpses. He shatters their heads over the vast battlefield. From the stream along the roads, he drinks, and he lifts up his head. So I don't know what that reference is to, but we know the king is going to have Yah on his side, and he's going to get victory. He may be taking a drink after he done put the nation to judgment. But it seems to me that in this psalm that is futuristic about the judgment that is to come.
Okay. So
would that be water? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm listening. He said, he drinks of the stream by the wayside. Therefore, he does lift up his head. And I was thinking, just a conversation. I could be in error. Water is life. So I'm thinking, he drinks of the stream. He drinks of life. I don't know. It's in my mind.
And you may be correct. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Carter.
I'm sure after a battle, this type of battle, a warrior needs some water.
Right.
When you extend yourself physically in that type of arena, you're definitely going to need some water.
Mm-hmm. You punch your first.
It's probably the first thing you think about.
Right.
Need some water.
Well, I was thinking about
head of the wicked and the enemy.
Well, I was thinking about the temple and the water flowing through the temple, that new temple that the Most High, that prefab temple that the Most High got, that water that restores you, that really restores you to thirst, right, the living water. When Cartier was mentioning that, and you associated it, I was thinking about the water that's flowing through the temple, that prefab temple that the Most High has ready. That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, that's deep.
Right?
Yep.
Ooh.
Why, Sister Yula? I'm sorry. Sister Yula, you have any commentary on anything?
I will in a minute. I'm just marinating. I'm just, when he reads, if I'm quiet, I'm thinking.
Right.
The words seep into my soul, and it's just wonderful. It's just,
Just like that water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cartrell, mm-hmm. brother and friend, do you have any commentaries on anything we studied?
Just this chapter, we know that Yah designates Jerusalem and Zion as a place that he said he would dwell forever. We see here that he's going to send the rule of King David in the midst of his enemy. That hasn't happened yet. And we know that the people are going to be willingly following King David because he's that great of a man. And in the holy hills, Most High is going to renew him, renew his youth that he had when he was young. He was a mighty man when he was young. And just amazing that people don't really digest what the scriptures, the Old Testament, is saying about King David in reference to him having dominion in the future. And they try to attribute it to the character in the new book, where he never sat on the throne. He never ruled Israel. He was never anointed. And they call him by a title that he doesn't deserve. And I don't see how they can make reference to him when King David wrote this himself. The character in the New Testament never wrote anything for himself, which makes what they say about him hearsay. And we have authentic words from the king himself, so that's something to think about.
True.
Amen.
Yeah, hands raised. I mean, not add, but to clarify.
Jump in there.
Okay, to clarify, I began to see on a more with clarity. We contributed to this nation, and then so we have also absorbed religious practices. And in those religious practices, some of us have prospered on a financial level and status. But even so, we deny ourselves of our own heritage. And that's where I feel so many of us, some of us are lost, and some of us don't think they need to change. Because I've always said, when you're doing good in life, from your perspective, why should you change? But we're witnessing on this phone, are seeing how nations in this world are being torn apart.
Breaking up.
All the nations, we are experiencing and witnessing nations in this world being torn apart. Not only in this country, but in France, England, Australia, just various places. What does it have to take? What is going to happen? Will it get worse? Some people say yes. We don't know when the time and the hour and the moment when we cry out to him. Some are doing it now, some aren't, some don't care. Let's deal with reality. And that latter part of that book, or they call the Bible, is from another nation. It's documented proof, and people say, I don't care. It's working for me.
Is it?
That's what they say.
And the Israelites and the Greeks were enemies, so how can enemies put one book together? And the fact that you mentioned England, we're in the Fourth Kingdom. And what the book of Daniel said about the Fourth Kingdom was that the Fourth Kingdom will be more, you know, like the daughter of Babylon. They would kill all the kings of the earth. So all the kings of the earth are gone, except for one. When they talk about the queen, who are they talking about?
England.
Oh, the queen didn't take her visit today. She didn't take a trip today. And it's not COVID-related, but the queen is doing business as usual at home.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only queen on the planet. What happened to other queens? The other nations?
Are you sure? Or are you talking about, is she the only queen of power?
She's not our queen. She's the queen of England. But
I'm not saying our. You're saying the world, and I'm saying that she's the only queen in this world, because that nation still has power. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
All the royal houses, take for example Ethiopia. They had a royal house, king,
Emperor Haile Selassie and his wife was queen, right?
Right.
Not no more. Who's the leader of Ethiopia?
I don't know.
Okay. So that crown is gone, right?
Okay.
What other nation has a crown and a king and a queen besides England?
Well, you do. You have about a list of monarchs. I know King of Jordan is still here. I don't know what power he exercised and so on and so forth. But it says there's a list of current monarchs as of 2021. There are 44 sovereign states in the world with a monarch as head of state. So there's still some kings and queens. I don't know. Is it just superficial, like her title, and she don't really exercise any authority? And I think that's about what it is, Cartrell. I think a lot of these kingdoms, they're superficial, like the king of Thailand or something like that. But they have a government that actually rules these countries, even though they may have a monarch. Actually, they're not running anything. It's the government that's really running. So I think, Katrina, you're right.
What good is it being a king or a queen and you don't run the nation?
That's what I'm saying.
You got a government running it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just a title.
Right.
It doesn't hold the power that it used to have in ancient times.
Right. Because you got Sister Yehuda, you got the country of Brunei, you got Denmark, you got Sweden, you got Switzerland. hold on, let me see. You got I can't even pronounce his name. Liechtenstein, Norway, Lesotho, Zoran, Bahrain, Morocco, Luxembourg, Cambodia, United Arab of Emirates, Monaco, Kuwait, Bahrain, Tonga, the Vatican City, Netherlands.
Oh,
yeah, the Vatican City. Pope Francis is that key. The Netherlands, Qatar, Belgium, Spain, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, which I mentioned, Malaysia, Japan, and we all know Japan just figure. All these country kings are basically figureheads. And Oman, they have, but they're just figureheads. United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Jamaica, Barbados, Bahamas, Grenada, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands. Let me get my glasses out because my eyes are getting.
Oh, I see you. Get
my eyes are getting watery with all these little names. Tuvan. Right. St. Lucius, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines, Antigua and Barbuda, Belize, St. Kitts, and the all these got sovereigns, but they're not really sovereign. Because, yeah, I mean, they just figureheads. I mean, a lot of these countries that I spoke of, I mean, we know that the king ain't coming to meet nobody to do anything. It's they have governments. So Cartrell is quite right. Kings like we had in our nations are not like the kings they got. They just figureheads. King Dawood spoke for the nation. And whatever the King Dawood said went. It wasn't no parliamentary government. He had advisors and so on and so forth. He had the princes of the 12 tribes, the 12 princesses. He had the elders behind them, and he listened to them. But for his decision-making, that was based upon King Dawood for his decision-making is concerned.
Let me say twofold. One, I think the kings, not only they ruled the land, but they had to read the Torah.
Right.
They had to do the laws. It was different. But the Europeans took what was out of the Torah and the Tanakh. And we know, because we should know, some of the European history, they had a king that was even over the church. you know. And even though they had religious advisors, they did just, they ruled whatever they their desire from their hearts, not from what Israel kings did. Now, getting back to the second thing, you hit on something, Israel, because I was thinking that she does play a role, even though they have said in media, they have a parliament and it passed rules and laws, but behind the scenes, she does wield power. If you notice, when there's weddings, something going on, American and Canada always showcase if it's a funeral or a wedding, when they're announcing, because she must be important to the European nation. So she
they're
might still
sister,
have
prestige. They're for crazy as hell. That woman ain't got no power. They paid that woman for the whole lot of nothing. That woman ain't got no power. She's just a figurehead.
She's the richest woman in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Right.
Right.
She gets tribute from all the British colonies that they have.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She gets tribute from those nations.
Exactly.
That's right.
But Sister Hootie,
still an acknowledgement. What I'm trying to say is still an acknowledgement of a queen and king in that nation. That's what I'm saying. It's still where she's far more important than what you think to the European countries.
Not just her, her family.
Right.
Prince Philip, the princes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They play a bigger part.
But truth be told, Cartrell and Sister Hootie, in spite of them having so much affection for her, she's still just a figurehead. She can't make decisions. She can't go to war on her own. She may have a certain influence, exert a certain influence or whatnot, but she don't have any governmental power, just like the prime minister of Britain. She's just a figurehead. They paying for a whole lot of nothing. Just like Cartrell said, a ball of confusion. That's all it is.
Well, we know that, but they're the ones pulling the strings.
Right. True.
And their time is running out. Their strings are getting short.
Point is, she's the only monarch that is still recognized. We're not just talking about power.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you on that. But like I said, like her and Pope Francis, they just support the system of universal white race supremacy. That's all they do. They support that system. They want you, all eyes on me. Look at me. I'm Pope Francis. I'm white. Look at me, Queen Elizabeth. I'm white. All eyes on me. We the only somebody can solve y'all problem. That's why y'all keep running to us from all over the world. Whenever y'all have any problem, y'all keep running over here to our country because y'all don't go to y'all. Y'all go to them. Y'all come to us. Y'all can't solve y'all problem. Run to these universal white race supremacist countries because we the only one side because y'all can't solve it on y'all own. And they do that. That's what they do. When you find them on those voyages, on those ships, those rickety ships, what are they running to? They're not running to a country that looks anything remotely like them. They're running away from it. They're running to the universal white race supremacists. So we've been trained to see them as gods better than us. That's why we run to them for everything. That's why we run to them for COVID-19, some of us. That's why we run to them for the LBGXTYCQ, trying to get at you and me.
Yes.
No, I ain't lying now. You know I ain't lying.
But they infiltrate through all media, movies, sitcoms.
Exactly.
Commercials,
exactly.
Huh?
And the Greco-Roman sports arena.
Exactly.
Pro sports.
Exactly. And I posted on Foodbook. You know, every time I look around, y'all quoting the Greeks and Romans. I said, I could care less about either one of them. Y'all quoting either Alexander the Great. Great for what? What was he great for? Sodomizing little boys and raping and robbing and pillaging other people's country. That made him great? So that's y'all definition of great. Going to somebody else's country, taking over their country, killing them. And so that makes you great. They don't make you great to me. And so why are we commenting on the Romans? Oh, the Romans, The Romans this, the Romans that, the Greeks this. They don't say nothing about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't say nothing about King David. They don't say nothing about Abraham. That's who they need to be quoting. I don't want to hear nothing about what the Romans said or what the Greeks said. I want to hear what y'all said, people that's representative for him.
But you know, in this country, you're not. I was going to mention that I've been doing some research on Washington.
Okay.
And dug up, because it was on television, too, something about Washington. If people really knew how he treated his slaves, he was horrible treating his slaves. Then I was watching him. Huh?
With his wooden teeth.
Actually, they weren't. Come to find out.
He took some slave teeth.
Yes. That is horrible. That is so nasty. I was watching the Jesse Owens story in World War II. And also the Vatican and some of the bishops, I guess you call them, were commenting on JC about making up this character. Now, I mentioned these three things for a reason, to put them together. That's why there's no excuse that we can't, as a people, be educated. There's too much out here. Yes, there's a lot of garbage. But we get messages over and over. We keep thinking, oh, it's going to get better. How is it going to get better when you still have our young men and women incarcerated, when they're still murdered? How is it better? It's not.
Well, Sister Yehuda, I don't follow my enemies nor my oppressor. Because remember, I think Cartrell and some of you fellow students out there were listening when I said it was my last days. I said I like working with the Red Cross because I like giving. And I called the young lady that was over me, that is an actual worker. And I told her, I said, look here, Christina. I said, I'll be turning in my stuff Monday, whatever stuff I got left, because I'm not taking no shot. Mm-hmm. She said, wait, just a minute. No, don't go nowhere. We don't want you to go nowhere. No, wait. I said, no. I said, okay. I said, but I'm going to tell you, at the final analysis, when I all say that, I'm not taking no shot. So I don't follow my enemies. Now, we need to stop following our enemies, because every time we look, which way do white folk go? But every time we're trying to solve some problem, we don't come together and try to love on one another and try to work with one another. Which way do white folk go? They went with COVID-19. I'm going right over there. Which way do the white folk go? They went to the gay club. I'm going right with them. Which way to the white folk? They marched with Black Lives Matter. I'm going to march with them, too. That's what's wrong with us now. We're trying to follow our enemies, and we're following right into traps.
This is why I said it's too much information for us not to wake up to say, wait a minute, why am I fighting my brother and my sister? Why am I doing these things? Why am I going? You know, it's too much good information to wake up to say, wait a minute, this is not right. And you know, I've sometimes watch a little stuff about how this nation is falling apart because there's so many people aren't taking that shot. They're walking off their jobs because, well, before COVID just activates the situation, made it worse. Go into the working scenario. The shortage is because people are tired of being, like you said, working for the slave master. But bottom line is, we gotta unite for the love of our people. And I agree with everything you said.
Right. But you know what, Sister Hooter? I don't want folks to get it twisted, though, Cartrell. Mm-hmm. I ain't got nothing to get white folk. But my thing is this. Whatever been going on for us, following after y'all, ain't working for us. Ain't never worked for us. So why should I continue following this, which way did white folk go, solve my problem? That's not going to solve your problem. Which way did the white folk go? It's going to exacerbate and cause you more problems. My thing is, which way did y'all go? Which way is the Almighty? Which way is my brothers and sisters whom I should be working with? Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Because it's too much information to that we've been oppressed people even in today's time for us to walk away and think, oh, it's going to get better. People are heads in the cloud. They just, we talked about it before, just distractions. But there's
right.
a lot of good grassroots people out there
right.
that are really strong. I mean, they're doing it.
Right.
So it's no excuse for the for an average person to say, I don't know. I mean, they've,
right.
they've made reading so easy now on the tablets. And, you know, I say get a good old-fashioned read a book.
Right.
So too much information. I mean, it's a lot. It can confuse you, but enough to say, wait a minute. I think I need to get myself together. The only way I can do that is go to the Most High.
Exactly.
Yeah, my fear. Yep.
So, Yoda, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking about just quiet. Go ahead.
No. I want you to give any closing commentary that the Most High, that you're directed to by the Most High. It don't have to be about the show or whatnot, the study show. It can be any commentary that Most High has directed to your lips to say.
Well, first, I'd like to give a shout-out. Her daughter's doing better. She's surrounded by her family. I called the other day just to check on her, and one of her children came by to see the movie with Kaepernick. I said, I got to see that, too.
They got a movie by Colin Kaepernick?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Like a mini movie.
Oh, okay. Like a documentary or something like that?
I think more of a movie style. I don't know yet. I want to check it out.
Okay. All right.
But I'm hoping and praying, that's for the Most High, that eventually they'll call me. I might call them because I'm ready to move.
Right. When are you going to move, Cecilia?
Where?
I said, when are you going to move?
They have to call me, but I'm going to call them.
Okay.
Yes. So I have to see with my sciatica and arthritis, I can't walk up two flights of steps. That's 30-something steps altogether.
You talking about in the place that you're moving to?
No, in the place I'm moving to, I won't have no steps.
Oh, cool.
Everything cool. be on one floor. Or even if I'm on the sixth floor, everything is right there. And the
cool.
elevators always work. So.
All right.
Yep, so I'm thankful for that.
Do you know what floor you're going to be on?
I'm not sure. They said to use the fifth or the sixth. It's huge. It's huge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Beautiful.
Cool. Is it newly built or what?
Oh, no, it's been there for a while, but it's clean. Security is great. The surrounding
okay.
area has everything for seniors. And
okay.
I love to walk. That's what helps my walking.
Right.
So I'm thankful for the Most High for that.
Amen.
It's just climbing up the steps. You know, when you get out climbing up those steps.
Oh, I know.
I don't care how old you are. You know, people in their 40s, some of them stuff killing me.
I know.
I'm sending prayers out. Ah.
Okay.
Oh, please, Most High, have patience. Most High, please. New place. So I can spread your word.
Amen, sister. Amen. All right. Ricartrell, our dear brother and friend, you have any commentary?
You must have on mute. Can I mute
you? Yeah. Might be on mute. Ricartrell?
Kane, I'm here.
Okay, brother. Do you have any commentary?
I'd just like to give thanks and praise to the Most High because our relationship with him is not like with Job. He kind of left Job out there when Job, you know, was praying to him.
Right.
Our situation, the Most High is telling us to call out to him and he will answer us. knowing our situation. So we have a little edge on what on Job, because Yah is looking for us to call upon him to deliver us from all of our troubles. And we have to learn how to do that, to trust in Yah. And that's what we're building up, that trust, and Yah showing his presence. Even while, you know, we're going through the trials and tribulations that we're going through, he wants us to know that he's with us. So that's a big difference than what Job was going through, because Job didn't really know. But Yah really reassures us that in our situation that we're in, that he's there for us. And all we have to do is reach out to him. So I want to thank Yah for that, because he could have left us out there in the hands of the adversary, not knowing what was going on.
But one point I would know, you can identify, he did not curse the Most High. As we get into it, it's going to be so interesting that I hope people can really, and it's kind, you know, with certain, it's kind of hard sometimes. Like you said, we got to get ourselves out the way. And I think Young Su alluded to that earlier. This is a bigger picture. And we got to keep communication open so we can inspire one another in a positive way.
Exactly.
Instead of, and, you know, instead of, we don't tear each other down.
Exactly.
We've only got one life. But many days we can live on this earth, but are we going to live, you know, living the way that he wants us to live, even in this trying time? And there's so many, and I want to bring up right quick, there's so many people so worse off. And my heart go out to them. It's just amazing how the homeless have reached such a crisis. It's been like that for years, but now more attention to the homeless. And it's like email would say, it's off the chain. And we must not be halting and thinking it can happen to us. Thing can happen, we can end up homeless.
Exactly.
There's people out there that's not on drugs, aren't thieves, aren't in gangs. They work. There are people who are homeless who work every day. Because everything's going up, up, up. So we got more, we have to rely on him every day, 24/7. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Sister Yehuda, Godfrey, our brother and friend. Here, we don't know much in certainty in life, because we're all like Job. And we must admit that. We must humble ourselves and admit that we don't know everything. And that's why we need to keep these studies up. But we do know this for a fact, and for a certainty. We're going to get ready to get out of here. You've been studying with Sister Yehuda from Michigan, Cartier from New York City, and I from Memphis, Yom Suf Arif. It's been our pleasure to bring these studies to you. Because why? Because we love you. We need it. It is our only way out of this. It is our only solution to whatever ails us, universally speaking. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It ain't cute. It ain't working for you. It's been working against you since your very existence, and it will continue to work against you. Allow the Most High footstep to be your pathway. Let the Most High direct and order your steps. Humble yourselves to the Most High. Let him direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Please stop. As a matter of fact, Sister Yehuda, Cartrell, and I, we like to offer you some parting gifts at the end of each study session. A new spirit, a new heart. We all need it. That new spirit would be contrite, humble, would be steadfast in the Most High. That new heart would look similar to King David. It would love the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and his strength. That's a lot of loving. And his brothers and sisters that he loved himself. Virtually what King David is alluding to, or what the Most High is alluding to, it's impossible to love your brothers and sisters if you don't love what you look at in the mirror. Learn to love yourself. I know they told you you're black, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you got biscuit lips. They told you all kind of mess to make you feel bad about yourself. Stop listening. Get that out your head. Stop letting that stop you. Learn to love yourself so you can love your brother and sister. Because otherwise, it's virtually impossible to. And also, you must thirst after righteousness. What do that mean? Thirst after righteousness. It's like sometime when I call in, I call Cartrell, I call Yehuda, Sister Yehuda, call Sister Abby, I say, I'm taking a day off today. I'm kind of wore out. And as soon as showtime come, I be wanting to call so bad, but the Most High said, no, you need to take care. I be wanting to call so bad to get on the show because I want to continue my own studies. It's not only for you fellow students. It's for me too. It ain't just for Cartrell. It's for him too. It ain't just for him. It's for Sister Yehuda too. It's for Aviyah too. And it's for you fellow students. We don't come on here trying to put on no showcase like we all that and a bag of chips. We come on because we get these studies just like y'all give them because we need them. We all dirty out here. We all need to be crying to the Most High because ain't nobody perfect. We all need to be crying to the Most High and unifying together, loving on one another, just like King David said, just like the Most High says. And stop looking for where the white folk go. Looking for where we go, the good we, because they all we ain't good we. Some of us don't want to be we. So look for the good we's. And learn to love one another, encourage and support one another. We all need each other. We all got a piece of the puzzle. Sister Yehuda got a piece. Cartrell got a piece, Yamsu got a piece, Abby, I got a piece, and you got a piece too. We all need each other. And you can't get away from it. That's the way it was designed by the Most High. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah. the sun.